I'll read a verse from the first canto, fourth chapter, the Bhagavad Gita. It's the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the first verse, the chapter, the appearance of Sri Narada. Vyasuvacha iti burvanam samstuya muninam dirga satrinam vridha kula pati sutam bhavritcha shaunakavo bravid. On hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Shaunaka Muni, who is the elderly, learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In a meeting of learned men, when there are congratulations or addresses for the speaker, the qualifications of the congratulator should be as follows. He must be the leader of the house and an elderly man. He must be vastly learned also. Sri Shaunaka Rishi had all these qualifications, unless he stood up to congratulate Sri Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from Shukadev Goswami and also realized it personally. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it, yet it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. This is called realization. The leader of the assembly, Shaunaka, could estimate the value of the speaker, Sri Suta Goswami, simply by his uttering yathatitam and yathamati, and therefore he was very glad to congratulate him in ecstasy. No learned man should be willing to hear a person who does not represent the original acharya. So the speaker and the audience were bona fide in this meeting where Bhagavatam was being recited for the second time. That should be the standard of recitation of Bhagavatam, so that the real purpose can be served without difficulty. Unless this situation is created, Bhagavatam recitation for extraneous purposes is useless labor both for the speaker and for the audience. And Prabhupada mentions here that a situation should be created so that the Bhagavatam can be recited properly, what to speak of heard properly. And this requires that one live a pure lifestyle, including following four regulative principles, which keep us above the entanglement of the material world, which are altogether dedicated to pursuing the various sinful activities in various ways, evidenced by every duty-free shop in America or Europe or around the world, which is the first thing you have to walk into when you get off an international flight. Liquor, cigarettes, perfume, and every other nefarious substance packaged as if it were the most important thing in the world. So those who take to the process of the Bhagavat Marg and the Panchakshikividhi become protected from the influence of the three modes of material nature, both by these prohibitions, no eating of meat, fish, or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and also by constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And for those who are preaching, or for those who cannot yet chant constantly, it means at least every day a minimum of 16 rounds should be completed. And when we are visiting the samadhi of Srila Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, we found his instruction to his followers, which was the way to advance in Krishna consciousness is to make sure that you complete your designated number of rounds every day, even at the cost of your own life. He added that at the end. We must be so serious about completing that. So Devesh and Vrindarika have come here today to make vows. And when someone makes a vow, then the rest of us also become inspired, because my thought in the material world is that I'll live free and I will do whatever I wish to do. However, this doesn't work for a tiny jiva in the material world. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivahi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapajante mayame tam tarantite. That this material nature of mine is insurmountable. And in order to actually have freedom, one has to surrender to Krishna. And one of the ways in which we surrender in a very practical way is by following the regulative principles of freedom. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atmavashara vatiyatma prasada madigachati. The Lord says in the Gita that by following the regulative principles of freedom, one can attain the full mercy of the Lord. We heard yesterday in this at morning class from the Nectar of Devotion that those who respect the instructions given by the Shastra, which come from Krishna, are respecting Krishna. And Krishna appreciates that very much. One actually becomes dear to Krishna by carefully following the regulative principles. Therefore, prasadam arigashchiti. Such a person can attain the mercy of the Lord. So, although it's counterintuitive to the materialistic mind that wants to do whatever it wants to do, whenever it wants to do it, following the Shastra, one becomes free and happy. And if one doesn't follow the Shastra, one must follow the Shastra, which means the weapon, which comes out in the form of great punishment and suffering from material nature. If I come here to England and drive on the right side of the road, because that's what I feel like doing, and I have a motor accident on the motorway, and then I complain, then I'm a fool. So similarly, when I take it upon myself to do whatever I wish without taking superior guidance from the Shastra, and then I suffer. I have no one to blame except for myself. So we congratulate you both for your intention of coming here today and sitting down tightly on these seats with a great determination in your heart. We've gotten to know each other over several years, and it's been a quite mysterious process. We came to know each other through the Istanbul connection, because I had no idea who you were and you had no idea who I was. But when you were in Istanbul, you ran into a very dear disciple of mine, Mukharavind Prabhu, who just happened to be going through the airport in Turkey distributing books. And you said, "Who's that?" and went over and met him, and that's how our conversation began. And it's been a wonderful conversation that's brought us closer and closer. Me, with much appreciation for the ways in which you've taken shelter of your mentors. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj has been a guiding light in your life. He's been a savior, as he is for many. And we feel very fortunate that he's present here today, shining his light. So thank you very much, Maharaj, for being here. You have other mentors as well, some of whom will be here today. Maharaj will say a few words, and they will also. Because this process of Krishna consciousness, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is a process of taking guidance, of having the humility to take guidance from many sides. And the process of us getting delivered or delivering others is a requires teamwork. It means from all sides there has to be guidance. And when the guides are in harmony with one another and helping selflessly to bring those they're guiding to higher ground, then it becomes a glorious affair and it's very pleasing to Krishna, as Maharaj pointed out in his talk the other night about the prachetas and how there are many austerities one can perform, but they don't impress Krishna. But what does impress Krishna is cooperation amongst devotees for the sake of delivering others especially. And today, this ceremony feels especially enlivening because yesterday about 70 of us went out to the neighborhoods all around Watford, and we went and delivered the message of Krishna consciousness to as many people as we could. We met many people, and it just felt right, didn't it? Were some of you there? And today, seeing that it's the same thing, we're constantly passing down what we're receiving from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This initiation today represents one aspect of that. The deliverance of the gift that's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who is the supreme gift giver. He's the source of all happiness and all auspicious relationships, and he forms what is called a sampradaya, which means the complete process of giving. And initiation is the process that Krishna organizes so that there's a very personal way in which we're given the mantras that are coming from Krishna himself, and that we feel a very personal connection to him. So what we'll be giving today is a name, a new name, and which is a dramatic thing to do. In America, we have what is called the Federal Witness Protection System. When somebody flips and starts to testify against the mob, then they have to be hidden away somewhere. And they give them a new name, a new passport, new location, everything new, so nobody can find them. And in a similar way, when we take up the process of surrender, one aspect of which is accepting a spiritual master and accepting the name from the spiritual master, we also get a new name. Maya can't find us as long as we stay in the protection system. Also, you'll be receiving beads duly chanted on by your spiritual master, and you'll be taking vows. So one may say, what is the need for a first initiation, a Harinam initiation? Sometimes people question this. A diksha, after all, isn't it simply the Gayatri Mantra? And what is the system? But clearly in our Shastra, the Acharyas have pointed out, especially Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that when there are Vaishnavas available to give you the name, and you accept it as a means of surrender in that process, then the Lord becomes very pleased. On the other side, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary to the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam in the matter of Ajamil, that if there are Vaishnavas available who are chanting the pure name of the Lord by following in the footsteps of their pure spiritual masters, and that you don't accept it and you go on chanting, then he considers that to be the third offense of disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, interestingly. So this is a very well-placed initiation. Not only that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that initiation is a process and not an event. He describes the Pancha Samskar, which is an ancient system known very much in South India, but he, in his essay on Pancha Samskar, describes how there are various aspects of surrender in the initiation process. The first is called tapa. in this stage, one decidedly turns away from the material world, having received some bandhagyan or knowledge about our relationship with Krishna and our non-relationship with the material world. Asango hyayam purushaha. The Vedas say, little jiva, you made a wrong turn. You're in the wrong place. You have nothing to do with the material world. That's pretty good news, right? It's a burden lifted by hearing this. And one develops an inner determination that I will no longer participate in this colossal hoax, as Srila Prabhupada calls it, in the material world. Everyone may go on flailing their arms and crying in the wilderness here in the material world, but I will no longer participate. This is the sense of tapa. And then comes a pundra, which means actually urvapundra, the placing of tilak on one's forehead. When we were on a book distribution yesterday, people asked, what is that paint? Especially when they saw the kids wearing tilak. They said, why are you wearing that? And they appreciated that it was a sign of dedication. So similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this urvapundra, marking one's body with the lines of Vishnu, it's a sign of dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what could be nicer than that? And at this stage, one feels so confident about one's surrender to the Lord that one wants to be demonstrative about it and show that I am a servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of God, that therefore one marks one's body with urvapundra. And other markings as well. In some sampradayas, they give you a branding with a hot iron. I'm not sure if we're doing that today, but I think not, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preferred Gopi Chandan. And then comes Nama, which means that one accepts the name of Krishna as one's life and soul and the main means of deliverance from the material world. By chanting Krishna's holy name in the Maha Mantra, one is in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suta Goswami begins his talks in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Apana samsritim goran yanama vivishogranan tata sadyo vimucheta yabhibheti swayam bhayam. That everyone should take advantage of chanting the Lord's names because they're non-different from Him. And the more that one has this clear understanding that the name is the deliverer, and the more that one takes shelter, this is called the thickening of faith. Shraddha shabde bishwas kohe surida nishchoy krishne bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. Kaviraj Goswami says that the faith means that I have an abiding trust which is increasing, that just by surrendering to the Lord, by doing devotional service, everything else is done perfectly. In a enchanting japa, one may experience this as a feeling that there's nowhere else to go right now. There's nothing else to do, nothing else to be heard. If one can have this experience, rather than being prodded by the mind that you must get up now, you must go somewhere else, which is torture. I was chanting the other day and I wrote down in my notebook in between rounds that distraction is torture, focus is nectar. Especially, or only I should say, if one is focused on the holy name. Nam bina kichu nahi ko ora chota bhuvanamaje. Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses the same sentiment when he says there's nothing else to be had in all the worlds except for the holy name. This is faith. And faith also in Bhagavad Gita, which is Krishna's direct voice. In his Lakhu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami says, don't overlook the Bhagavad Gita. It was spoken by the lotus lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Take shelter there and dive into the ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. After one accepts the name Das or Dasi, One's very fortunate. The first time I saw the Bhakti Godhead magazine, I was so taken with the devotees. That's really what attracted me. I saw the pictures of the devotees working at the press. It was in the BTG I got, and they were out in the park teaching others Krishna conscious. And I thought, I want to be one of those people. And I saw that their names had Das and Dasi at the end. I thought, how do you get one of those names? Actually, it's the most fortunate to have that name. And then one's perfectly aligned. If you can have that name, Das or Dasi. And this means that it's the most exalted of all positions to be designated properly in an authorized way, recognized by all other Vaishnavas in an assembly like this today, that I'm a Das, I'm a Dasi. This puts joy within the heart of the devotees. After the nama comes mantra. These mantras are esoteric and mysterious, and they're like ropes that we can grab onto. The other day, when we were with His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj having lunch, just spontaneously he said, you know, why would somebody stop chanting their Gayatri? He said, it's so beautiful to have those mantras in your mind. It really inspired me, his realization. Is that keeping the mantras in the mind, otherwise the mind fills up with all kinds of other sounds we call noise that simply distract. Just as Narada Muni says, they disturb the mind as a boat on the water is disturbed by the wind that has no resting place. So the mantra comes as what we call second initiation. And then finally there's yaga, which means to be able to approach the deity, having been fully authorized through the process of initiation, to be able to touch the lotus feet of the deity, to offer the various articles of worship with the proper mula mantras and so forth, which gives one this very personal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his archa form. So this is called Panchasamskara, this system. And so this initiation today, the nama, is one of the aspects of that initiation process. So besides chanting Hare Krishna with great faith, which is induced by constantly hearing about our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead every day, must be done every day, then one must also be very careful about avoiding offenses. The two offenses which are particularly dangerous are offending Vaishnavas and sinning on the strength of chanting the holy name. These two offenses cannot be overcome by constantly chanting, but one must suffer for them, say our acharyas. They're so severe. So one of the ways in which one can be successful in life is to make a firm vow internally, that I will not participate in the vilification of Vaishnavas. It's not necessary. Not only that, it's pernicious, and it is harmful at every step. Every syllable uttered against a Vaishnav is hurtful to Krishna, and therefore it stays our progress in devotional service. So if you simply make that determination that I will not participate in either speaking ill of Vaishnavas or of hearing others speak ill or reading such anywhere, especially on the internet, then one becomes inoculated. In fact, Krishna notices this non-participation. So do others. And oftentimes it slows the what happens to be an ever-increasing desire the tongue has to spread rumors. If you don't participate, others notice, oh, I made a mistake, I shouldn't do this. So you can set that example in the world by walking away, changing the subject, and not participating. I've noticed that in both of you, that you don't participate in those things. You're very careful and respecting Vaishnavas from all different walks of life. So please continue to do that in such an exemplary way. Furthermore, sitting on the strength of chanting, it's easy to take anything for granted, or worse, to develop a sense of entitlement. That is, that because I'm initiated, or because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, because I'm in a religious institution, therefore I have a right to do this, this, or that, fill in the blank. This is Maya's invitation, entitlement. Better to consider, I'm not liberated. Never think I'm liberated, therefore I can fill in the blank. Better to think that I'm the lowest. I don't have the right to cut corners. I must follow the simple thing. When I was walking by a baseball field, do you have baseball here? Anyway. It's a sport, you know, they swing at a ball. It's all the same sport everywhere. Cricket's the same. I mean, but I was watching the coach, and I was preaching. He was coaching little kids. I have a park near my house, so they're out there. You hit the ball, you run around, you know. So he was teaching them some fundamentals so that they could be good at baseball. And he kept yelling at him, muscle memory, gentlemen, muscle memory. He was doing the same play over and over again. You know, man's on first, man's on third, ball goes down the middle, who do you throw to? He was emphasizing same thing. So they were used to doing it, muscle memory. You just do it automatically, you know what to do. And then he said, this is baseball 101, not baseball 103. He kept saying that, which means that the basic thing, 101 is usually the basic class in America you go into, like psychology 101. It means you took it as an elective and you're going to get the summary of what psychology is. 101, and then there's 103, which is the more advanced class. It's two above that. But he kept saying, 101, gentlemen, not 103. So if we keep ourselves in this mode that I'm qualified for 101 and stick... always cover the basics. Don't criticize devotees. Be very careful, meticulous about finishing the prescribed number of rounds, following the four regular principles. And this kind of mentality protects one from this idea that now I'm entitled, now I can do whatever I wish to do, which is dangerous. And then there's the so-called 11th offense, which is to be inattentive while chanting. So Maharaj gave such a nice instruction the other night, so concise, about be aware that you're chanting. When you're chanting, be aware that you're chanting, because it's altogether possible to do so many things and not be aware that we're doing them. And this can lead to many of the other offenses. So just be very aware of the what the name is. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. And by that, by giving your attention to the holy name very deliberately, this is actually of love, because what we have to offer. I'll just be very go out on a limb and say that the only thing we really have to offer. Is everyone okay? The energy changed all of a sudden. All we have to offer is our attention. That's what our free will affords us. The freedom to place our attention wherever we wish. That's all we have. And if you utilize your free will to give your attention to the holy name, and of course to the Shastra, but when you're chanting to the holy name, then your chanting will become fruitful in a very simple way, very simple instruction.